Do we have any Jamba Juice fans in the house today? Yeah? I love Jamba Juice. It's good stuff. You know, when you go to Jamba Juice, they have those extra boosts that you can put into your drink. You guys know what I'm talking about? If you're feeling low on vitamins, you can get a Vita Boost. If you're feeling low on nutrients, you can get a Nutra Boost, Fiber Boost, Vita Boost, Immunity Boost. Wherever you're feeling low, they've got some kind of boost that's going to pump you up. They even have a Fema Boost. Have you guys heard about the Fema Boost? The Fema Boost is this special protein that they put into the drink. And I don't know if this is true, but I've been told that if you're a man and you drink a Fema Boost, it'll begin to change the pitch of your voice and that you begin to walk kind of funny. I'm not sure about that, but be careful with the Fema Boost. You know, it's interesting, we're always looking for a boost in our spiritual life, and this morning we're talking about what we can do to take our spiritual life to the next level. We've been in a series over the last few weeks called Boost, Encouraging Words from the Book of Ephesians. We've been looking at some of the most encouraging passages in the New Testament from the Book of Ephesians. And today we're going to get you fired up, pumped up. We're going to get you motivated and inspired today because God has a powerful word today for us about taking our spiritual life to the next level. And we're going to look at some principles that I believe are just going to change your life being here today. So let me invite you to grab those notes that you've got with you. And if you have a Bible or you want to use the one underneath your chair with you, you can do that. You can follow along with where we're going. But I grew up going to a Christian school and I grew up in a Christian family. And I remember as a teenager feeling that I just began to wonder if the Christian life was really a reality. Like, could real people really follow Jesus Christ? And I had some wonderful Christian examples around me, and I was a part of a great church and saw the Christian life lived out in a powerful way among so many people that were in my family and circles of influence. But there was a part of me that just wondered if this whole thing could really work. And when I was a senior in high school, I had an aha moment. One of those moments where the light switch just turned on, and I began to realize something, that the life that's described in the Bible was really possible. And it was a reality. And even though I was just a normal guy, that God could do something incredible in my heart and in my life, and that I could live out the Christian experience just like the people that I had read about in the Scripture. And even though I knew that I wasn't perfect, I knew that there was something that I had been missing and something I had never really seen before and never really understood. But in that moment, man, God began to teach me and began to show me and give me a brand new perspective. And maybe you've looked at the Christian life that way. Maybe you've just seen it being a follower of Jesus as something that is reserved for those that live in an ivory tower, or maybe you're like a monk or a nun, and yeah, the Bible relates to those guys, but how does it relate to me when I'm just a normal, everyday person? You know what? You need a boost. You need a boost. And we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul had to say to some of his most significant followers in the book of Ephesians as he addressed this issue of spiritual power. See, the moment that you commit your life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says you have spiritual power. The Holy Spirit comes in to your life. And we have the power of the Spirit of God, but oftentimes we don't access it. And so the problem is not that we don't have the power, but it's that we're not using the power that God has given us. So today we're going to unpack that. And if you've ever wished, man, I wish that I could love people more. I wish I could be kinder. I wish I could change my attitude or change my thoughts, or I wish that I could not be so depressed all the time, or wish that I wasn't so discouraged, then man, you've come to the right place. Because see, the rub in the Christian experience is between where we are and where we want to be. And oftentimes we have lofty spiritual goals, but we're not sure how to take our faith from one arena to the next, and we're not sure how to get from here, where we are, to where we want to be. But that's where the power of the Spirit of God begins to change us and to shape us. Now, this letter that we've been studying over the last few weeks is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He spent 3 years with them. These were some of his closest friends, some of his closest associates, and Now Paul is in prison. He wrote several letters from prison. But it's interesting that he's encouraging the Ephesian believers even while he's in prison. And he begins to pray for them. In chapter 1, the apostle prays for the Ephesian church. In chapter 3, he prays for them as well. And this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 is the one that we're going to unpack this morning. Look at verse 13. He says, I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. So here's the apostle. He begins to just pray for these Ephesian believers. And the normal posture of prayer in among Jewish men was to stand. And maybe you've even seen pictures of Jewish people that are praying at the Wailing Wall. And you've seen them pray and they rock back and forth like this. Have you ever seen that? And that's how Jews have prayed for many, many, many years. But here the apostle says he gets down on his knees. He begins to pray from his knees because he's just so passionate and so concerned for these believers. And he begins to pray a powerful prayer for his friends. You see, spiritual power in my life comes through the Spirit. And the Spirit is the one that empowers us and enables us to move from where we are to where we want to be. Notice the scripture in verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. You see, it's the Spirit that begins to strengthen the person that we are on the inside. See, the key to real life change is not changing the exterior. It's not changing the facade. It's changing the inside. It's who we are. And listen, we spend so much time focused on the exterior. I mean, it would probably be scary to know how many hours a week that we focus on the exterior, who we are, like from the outside, how we look and how we take care of our body and, you know, bathing and getting a haircut. And by the way, I'm for all that. I think you ought to do all that. But, you know, it's interesting that sometimes we can spend 25 hours a week just focus on the external, and we spend 5 minutes a week on the internal, who we are in here, and we wonder why we're so frustrated in our spiritual life. See, it's about the inner man, the inner person. And Paul says the Spirit of God is the one that strengthens not who you are on the outside, but who you are on the inside. And that's where real life change happens. It comes from the heart, comes from the soul. And when we see problems in our lives and we see difficulties that we're facing and we see our marriage isn't where we want it to be and our walk with God's not where we want it to be, a lot of times we begin to change the exterior things, the surface things, the things that make very, very small amounts of differences. But to really experience the power of God and the real change, it's got to come from the inside. We've got to be strengthened from the heart, from the soul, from who we are, as the apostle says, the inner being, the inner person. And it's really living backwards, because oftentimes we think about the external more than we think about the internal. And you know, the external is the person that lives by circumstances. When circumstances in my life are good, then I feel good. And when circumstances in my life are bad, then I feel bad. Listen, when the Spirit of God is giving you strength in the inner person, it doesn't matter if your life is facing terrible circumstances or wonderful circumstances. You can have the power and the strength of God in your life to help you get through that difficulty regardless of what's going on around you. But only if the inner person is being strengthened. So the apostle begins this prayer by talking about the power of the Spirit. Now, who is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is that third person of the Trinity. We know the scripture tells us that God is one God, but three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And thank goodness God gave us the Spirit for this explicit purpose. The Spirit was given to us to give us strength and to give us spiritual vitality and to help us, to give us that boost that we need to take our faith and our Christian experience to another level. So that's who the Spirit is. And oftentimes we look to self-discipline and positive thinking to help make changes in our lives. And that may take you a little distance, but it will never take you where the Spirit of God can take you. So, man, are you following the direction of the Spirit of God? Are you allowing the Spirit of God to strengthen you? And maybe you just need to get alone with God today and just spend some time allowing the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and to build up your faith and to give you the strength that Paul began to talk about. Sometimes we change our behavior, but not our heart. And God wants our heart. Now, the ultimate example of this was the Pharisees. In the New Testament, they were the guys that had the whole exterior thing lined out. Man, they had religious clothing. They had religious language. They went to religious places. They brought their tithes. They quoted the scripture. And yet, when Jesus talked about these Jewish religious leaders, he referred to them as people that were hypocrites and people whose hearts were far from God. You know, we can live like that as well. We could have a cute wife, nice car, good job, and everything can look great on the outside, but listen, that does not mean that the inner person is being strengthened by the power of God. What we need is a heart change. Maybe you've even thought about giving your life to Christ before and you haven't done so at this time, but you worry about becoming a hypocrite. Sometimes people say, Ron, I want to become a follower of Jesus, but I don't know if I can live up to the standard. Don't know if I can do that. And boy, I'd rather just not be a Christian than just to somehow not be perfect. Well, there's a lot of misconceptions with that. First of all, nobody's perfect. No Christian is perfect. But also, being a Christian is not just about what you do. It's about who you are. When you get who you are in order, then what you do will follow. But sometimes we get these things reversed and we worry about what we do. We forget about who we are. And when we get who we are in Christ straight, then the power of the Spirit begins to energize us and build us up and to give us the boost and the energy that we need to follow Him. It's the difference between information and transformation. And a lot of people can know spiritual truths and yet not have their hearts changed. And that's what we need more than anything else. That's what we need. Have you ever had a sin in your life that you felt like you just couldn't change? You just felt like, man, this was a chain around your neck. What am I going to do? You've tried to take that sin and you tried to push on it a little bit, and maybe you were able to get a few inches with it by pushing it. Maybe you tried to pick it up, and you could drag it a little bit, but inevitably begin to wear you down. And you thought, man, how in the world am I going to get this sin out of my life? I want to follow Jesus. I don't want to have this sin connected to me, but it's too big for me to move by myself, and so I need some help. In fact, I need a little help up here. Where's my volunteers? Guys, come on up here. I need a little help to move this sin in my life. There we go. All right, one of you get on this side. Okay? There you go. Right, that one. You get right there. All right, let's carry that. There we go. Very good. Now, if you guys will just take that right back there, you'll be in perfect shape. Good job. Let's give these guys a round of applause. How about that? Yeah, don't hurt anything. Be careful. You see, that chest was too heavy for me to carry by myself. I needed some help. By the way, guys, that's what the Holy Spirit does in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. He gives us the boost, the power, the strength that we have, because you're right. We can't change by ourselves. We can't become the person that we want to become in and of ourselves. We need some outside help, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to do some amazing things in our life. It begins to give us the strength that we need and to help us to move out the things that don't honor God and to move in the things that do honor God. And that's where spiritual power really begins. You know, there's also another thing that the apostle goes on and he talks about. He says spiritual power comes through love. And there's no more powerful force in the world than the power of love. Love was the thing that caused Jesus Christ to go to the cross, to die.
The power of love. The power of love is the thing that transforms relationships. It transforms faith. It transforms the world. The power of love. And notice verse 17 through 19. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul talks about the four-dimensional love of God. How high, how wide, how long, how deep. The 4D love of God. Maybe you guys have seen those four-dimensional sonograms. Anybody here ever seen some of those? The technology's just come out recently. It's incredible. We used to have just kind of the little simple sonograms. Now you can see babies in 4D. I mean, you can see facial expressions. You can begin to see who the baby looks like. It's an amazing clarity that the four-dimensional perspective gives. And listen, when we begin to see the love of God in four dimensions, then it begins to become so much clearer than it was before. Now, Paul goes on and he says it's four-dimensional and it's huge. And we begin to see God's love in all these different facets, but it also surpasses our own knowledge. In verse 19 it says, and to know his love that it surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. In other words, if we could understand the love of God completely, totally, then it probably wouldn't be that great. Because God's infinite. And the love of God is on a whole nother plane. And it is hard to totally grasp and understand, how could God really love me? And maybe today you've never even been told that you're loved before. Maybe you even grew up in a home where your parents never told you that you were loved. Maybe you were never told that you could accomplish your dreams, or that you could succeed, or that you could live a righteous life before God. And maybe you've never even been told that before. But I want you to know something today. Even if nobody in the world has ever told you that you are loved, the Bible says that God loves you. God loves you. And the love of God is the thing that propels us to serve Him and to follow Him and to love Him. Now, I have a couple of kids. I have a little boy, and he's just turned 3 a couple of months ago. I have a little girl that'll be 2 in October, and I love being a dad. We're having a great time. We've been in a very interesting phase with our little boy. He's been potty training. And I love my boy a whole lot, but I want to tell you something. My love has been tested a little bit through potty training. It's been put to the test. We were at Chick-fil-A a few weeks ago. We were eating dinner, and we saw some people from the church. And so we started talking and eating Chick-fil-A. About the time we finished, I looked over, and the kids were not around. They had gone into the playground. And the lady that I was talking to from our church, in the middle of our conversation, interrupted me. And she said, Ryan, there is nudity on the playground. She says, oh, that is Zane Heller that is nude on the playground. And so I turned around to find my wife. What do we do next? We looked over in the huge window. The whole restaurant is now looking. People are pointing. That's the pastor's son. Naked. You know? Gina is running into the playground, you know, in slow motion. I look up the whole window. The whole restaurant is looking. My little boy has taken his dirty underwear off in one hand. He's got his pants in the other hand, and he's trying to get down from the top of the playground. And he's upset. And I'm going to tell you something, man. This was no average accident. I mean, it was cataclysmic. Okay? I don't even know what the word is for it, but it was a disaster. It was a mess. And so Gina goes in, rescues him. I'm hiding him in the corner of the restaurant behind a couple of tables and the trash can, trying to clean him up with napkins and whatever else that I've got, hoping that nobody else is seeing what's going on. Gina runs out to the car, gets some clothes and some wet wipes, and we begin to change him and get him changed. And I turned around, and they had shut the whole playground down. I mean, I kept waiting for a bunch of those cows to come out with spacesuits on and oxygen masks to come out and detox the playground. It was embarrassing. Very embarrassing. So my love has been put to the test. But I still love my son, even though he makes messes. And just somehow, I believe that in the infinite wisdom of God, that God sees the messes of our lives and he still loves us. Isn't that amazing to think about? That God would love us even in spite of our messes. It surpasses all knowledge. And that's why I love verse 19, and to know his love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. You see, when the love of God is consumed in our lives, it begins to ooze out in all arenas of our lives. It begins to ooze out in our marriage, begins to ooze out at work, begins to ooze out at school, begins to ooze out in our personal life. In all areas of life, the love of God begins to pour out of us when our hearts are full of what God has done in our lives through the power of His Spirit. Now, God's power comes through my relationship with Him. And everything related to the Spirit is about relationship. And that's why verse 20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine." Because it's relational. There's intimacy, communication. We're spending time with God. And when we're spending time with God, then the power of His Spirit begins to pervade our lives. It's all about relationship. Just like we have relationship with people, we have relationship with God. And then God's power is capable of handling any situation. Man, there's no situation that you're facing today God can't handle. Verse 20 goes on and it says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine." Your life, you're not facing anything today that's surprising to God. You don't have any problem that's too big for Him. You're not facing any situation. There's no concept. There's no mountain. There's no issue that is too big for God, because He is able to do more than all we could hope for or imagine, through the power that is within us. So God's power is capable of handling any situation. You may feel like you're at the end of your rope, but you're not. Because the power within you, the power of the Spirit of God, is the thing that's continuing to sustain you and enable you. There's nothing too hard for God. No adversity that's too big, no sin that's too big. There's nothing that's too big for Him. And then God's power is exciting because we never know what God's going to do. God's always shaking things up, doing new things, things we never thought of, things that were so big and even inconceivable that we couldn't have even written a better script. But God, in His wisdom and in His power, is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever hope for. You know, a lot of times what we hope for is like this. And God says, "Oh no. What I want to do in your life is massive, is huge. It's so much bigger than just this." According to the power that's within us. Next week is going to be a historic Sunday at the Edge Church. And I hope every single one of you will be here. You know why? because we're going to be announcing some incredible news, some things that God has been doing in our church. We now have a church that is almost ready to give us their facility in their new building. Is that not amazing? Yeah. Yeah. This piece of land is 10 acres. It has a building that is 100% paid for. And this church, in the next few weeks, is going to be deciding to give us that piece of property. I'm going to be telling you all about it next week. So I hope that you'll be here. Guys, God is able to do so much more. He's able to do so much more than we can imagine. And it's awesome to be a part of it. It really is. We don't have time to get into all the details of this morning, but I want you to be back next Sunday as we talk more about that facility. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Guys, no marriage is unredeemable. No dream is too hard to achieve. You have no idea what God wants to do in your life, and you have no idea what God wants to do in our church. We're about to take the next step. And that's why the prophet Jeremiah said, "O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth. By your great, great power, nothing is too hard for you." See, nothing's too hard for God. He is able to do immeasurably more than all you can hope for or imagine. It's good. Verse 21 wraps this whole passage up. It says, "To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." See, when the power of the Spirit of God and the love of Jesus Christ is dominating your life, then God gets the glory. People begin to look around and say, "Man, what's different about her? He's not the same. Must be that God that he worships. Must be that Jesus Christ that he serves." That's the power. That's the power within us. That's how God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can hope for or imagine. Let's just stand together for a word of prayer all over this room. And while everybody's just absolutely quiet this morning and nobody's moving around, and maybe today you'd like to commit your life to this God, you have an opportunity today to ask Christ to come into your life, to fill your heart up, to give you the power and the strength that you need to live an overcoming life, to give you love, all the things we've just talked about. This gift is an opportunity for every person here. All we have to do is reach out and to receive it. And maybe today you'd like to open your heart to Jesus Christ and say yes to him. Would you just pray with me this prayer if you'd like to do that? You can just pray silently where you are. Just say, "Lord, I know that I have sin in my life. I pray you'd forgive my sins and that you'd make me a brand new person. I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at the resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins. And now, Lord, fill my life and help me to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen."